Everything in life starts kind of being a store that has to do with money. I did everything that you probably shouldn't do. I'm rich. I made it, or did I? We have to change our life. Something's not working. So we sold everything.
That was very, very anti-investing in Japan.
I will never buy rentals in Japan.
I, as a Japanese native living in Japan, choose not to invest in my home country's real estate market.
That was a clear sign that I should be doing more of Japanese real estate investing. I bought a half-finished house. Wanting less is the key. You call me back 30 minutes later. Cash, done.
Hey, what's going on, Key Hunters?
So today, I am in Ginza, Tokyo. And to my right, my co-founder, Brett. Where are we going now?
We're going to the Japanese Real Estate Summit.
So it is April 12th.
Yeah,
right now. And this weekend, we have the Spring 2025 Japan Real Estate Summit at Tokyo International Forum. So that's where we're headed. We got invited as speakers. We're going to be talking tomorrow. But today, you know, we get to attend other speakers' sessions. Yeah, meet with a lot of like-minded people. So, Brett, what are you going to be talking about tomorrow?
Well, that's a secret. Because I actually, and this will be out after I give the talk, I have 9 talks prepared. And I'm going to do a little game with the audience to figure out which talk will be the most valuable for them. Because there's so many different people with so many different needs and things that might be really valuable to them. I want to make sure I'm giving a talk that makes sense for the actual audience that we have. So I prepared 9 talks.
Wow.
And we'll see which one we do.
Well, obviously this video will come out after this event is done. So, you know, if you missed the event, it's okay. We'll give you a little bit of a summary.
So behind the scenes.
Behind maybe? The scenes, yeah, of what it's like. So maybe you can attend the next time or in the future. Yeah, I think we're just a few minutes away. All right, well, see you at the venue.
All right, so we just got to the Tokyo International Forum. Here's the venue. We got to figure out where to go.
It's very big.
Yeah. And this is how prepared we are. But we'll find it. I feel like I've been here before, a long time ago. It looks familiar. Oh, yeah, Shake Shack. Oh, I remember that Shake Shack. What are you most excited about?
I'm excited to hear the other talks, actually.
Yeah.
Because there's tons of great speakers here that have a lot of valuable information. So hopefully we can learn some more things and bring it to the community.
Specifically, which speaker?
Tracy seems to have a lot of knowledge about things that we're very interested in. So I want to see her talk.
Short-term rentals, right?
Yeah,
she's the queen,
rentals.
I hear.
It's one thing that for us, it just doesn't seem to make sense. We actually just recently did an article on Airbnb in Japan and all the reasons why we don't think it makes sense for most people. But she seemed to crack the code and figured out how to make it work for her. So we want to learn about that and see if we can bring that information to you guys.
Yeah, same. I think her session is pretty soon, right? Like right after lunch.
Yeah.
So yeah, very excited about that one. And let's see if we can meet Anton too. We can talk to Anton.
Yeah, Anton.
All right, so we just figured out where it is. Go down one floor and then we'll take the elevator to the 6th floor. There are 2 rooms. One's the main room and the other one is probably for the breakout room. So apparently this is the first Japan Real Estate Summit event that's taking place here. So larger space, sounds like. Yeah, it's huge. All right, I think we're here.
Yeah, we are. We found it.
Do you see anybody in there?
Yeah, I think they're in the talk right now.
Okay. Yeah. It looks kind of empty, but maybe they're waiting for...
I think the main entrance is down.
Oh, over there. Okay. Good. We just got here. First session of the day.
We have about 40, 50 people.
And this one? There's people.
This one?
Breakout session.
Oh, yeah. So we got the main talk here and then the breakout session in the next room. And this one is about commercial multifamily property with leverage. Interesting. All right, so we're halfway into day one, and next up, Anton.
And today we welcome Anton.
Konnichiwa, minasan.
Congratulations to your new house.
Clean it up after inspecting what I had.
All right, Brett. So we're halfway into day one. How's it going so far?
It's going great. Meet some awesome people.
Next up, we got Anton.
Yeah, I was to hear about his latest property.
Yeah, he said he's got 5 short-term rentals.
Yeah.
An occupancy rate of 90%.
Yeah.
That's his game.
Yeah, and beautiful property.
Yeah.
It's like you're there because the house is just so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what he has to say today.
Me too.
All right, Brett, so we just wrapped up day one. How'd it go?
And we're really good.
Yeah.
It was really good. There were a lot of great talks, a lot of great people. We met a lot of awesome people, some members as well.
Yeah. It's really loud in here. Where are we?
It's very loud.
Yeah.
I don't know where we are. We're at an izakaya celebrating, and hopefully don't drink too much because we got to come back tomorrow.
Yeah, we got speakers, we got attendees. Yeah, this is the mingle. Yeah, we got at least one member.
Yeah, we got a couple of people signed up on the spot, so that was
there
cool.
You go. Yeah. Okay, so we'll be back tomorrow. But sure. Good first day.
Good first day, done.
Awesome. All right. All right, let's enjoy. All right, so it's day two of JRE Summit, and today's our main day. Brett, how are you feeling?
You're losing my voice, but other than that, I'm great.
Did you have a good night last night?
It was a long night. It was pretty good. We stayed out a good bit.
So a lot of people are excited about your talk. You have the main one out of both of us, and I go after for a breakout session. Okay, let's do this. Here's the mas.
So pre-warning, I was horribly overserved last night. And it's probably going to lose my voice a little bit during this talk, but I am horrible at public speaking. I'm terrified to speak in front of people, so warning. I'm also really bad at karaoke, but I love doing both of them. So if anyone wants to karaoke tonight, I'm down. Let's go. So the title of this talk is Wake Up, What You're Missing and How I Found It in Japan. I am Brett Lee, the CEO and co-founder of Akiya Hub. You probably don't know who I am, but you know Shu, my co-founder. Now, I do have a bit of a secret. I am not prepared for this talk. I actually am somewhat over-prepared because I didn't know what was going to be the best thing to talk about. I just didn't want to come up here and show you guys Akiya Hub and be like, check out this thing that I built. I wanted to do something that's actually going to be valuable to the people in the room. So I have 9 talks prepared, and we're going to figure out which one suits the audience best by going through a couple questions. So I'm going to need some participation, and we'll see what we actually talk about today. So first question, really easy. Everyone, raise your hands. Who loves Japan? Show of hands. Who doesn't love Japan? Anyone not love Japan? No? Okay, good. Because talk number 8 was like, what are you thinking? Why don't you love Japan? All right, next question. Who here wants to invest in real estate? Okay, this is great. That's what I was hoping for. All right. Who wants to start a business? Okay. A little more than half. That's great. All right. Who would consider themselves rich? All right, great. Now, when I asked that last question, who measured it with money? When I asked if you're rich, who used money to do that calculation? Okay. Oh, yeah, I want to see some hands. I know most people did, right? Okay, great.
So, hey, what's going on, Akiya Hunters? Good to see you all here for this breakout session. I think every speaker of this event gets to speak in the main room and do the presentation. And then comes here to do a breakout session. It's more like intimate, it's more like interactive. But since my business partner, Brett, he just gave pretty good speech. And you probably know why we started a business together. So I won't get too much into that. So I'm sure you want to know about this, right? But let me give a very brief presentation about, I guess, my journey into Akiya Investing before we open up for questions and discussions. Sound good? Okay. All right. So diamonds in the rough. How to find a deal in today's Akiya market. So that was the title and the talk that I was asked to talk. Not too long ago, this was probably like two and a half years ago, I started my YouTube channel. And, all I knew, just brief history of my investing journey. I was investing in the US market. And I had 6 properties, 19 doors at the time. So I thought I knew a couple things. And I did it from Japan and invested in the US. Having a US spouse, American spouse, helped me get loans and everything. And I wanted to share that with people like me in Japan who might want to do the same thing. And I was very, very anti-investing in Japan. And this was one of the videos. I don't know if you've seen. And my catchphrase was, my name is Shu. I live in Japan. I don't invest in Japanese real estate. I speak Japanese. I don't invest in Japanese real estate. And no one cared. Yeah, which is totally fine. And I was like, yeah, like, what am I doing wrong? And then I, started to talk about Japan a little bit. I didn't know much about Japanese investing. I had never done it.
But I put up a video, and then that one kind of went viral. And that was a clear sign that I should be talking or, you know, doing more of Japanese real estate investing. And a couple of years later, here I am. So very grateful to be here. I don't consider myself an expert in Japanese real estate yet. Hopefully I'll get there. But a little bit about what happened in the past year and a half or a little bit less. So I did buy 6 Akiya houses in the last 14 months. Decent amount. But I did help. I have helped over 100 people, foreigners from all over the world, 20 countries, in about the same period, year and a half, purchased property in Japan. Most of them are Akiya, but some are just regular properties. So I have some insight and observation that I can share. Okay, so my name is Shumatsu Post, co-founder of Akiya Hub, and also founder of Postify, my existing business. And that's where we help. Our services are to help foreigners buy real estate. It's a done-for-you service from beginning to an end. And to Brett's point, if you made it to Brett's speech, you know, I couldn't say yes to all the people that came to us. We were only able to serve, you know, up to 100 people a year. And now with Akiya Hub, we could do a lot more. And that's why I wanted to start this business with him. Okay, so how do you find a good deal? That's the question I get quite often, right? Like, how do you find it, right? And in the U.S., at least, you know, from what I know, a lot of people are like, should I just keep making lowball offers and, you know, stick with the ones that say yes, right? Maybe that's a strategy. It might work for you. I personally don't really like it, especially in Japan, because, you know, it's very relational, right? And if you keep doing this with many agents, they will talk with other agents and like, hey, watch out for this shoe guy. Like, you know, he makes lowball offers. Like, don't work with him, right? So you don't want to make bad reputation for yourself. So I don't really recommend this strategy. So it's more of a mindset, right? Like, if there is a really good deal, the chances are someone had seen it, right? Likely brokers first, right? And then they might buy it themselves, right? And then, especially if you're a beginner, you know, first-time buyer, unless you know someone who has access to these, say, like off-market, like really rare deals, you're not going to get it. Chances are very, very low. So you got to think, okay, what's a good deal, right? Good deal is something that everyone wants, right? You want to buy it cheap and renovate the minimum. And, you know, you get to charge the most amount of rent. And so that the cash flow is going to be great. And plus, less headaches. It's new. It's awesome. Those deals do not exist. Okay? You're either buying high and get those quality properties. And if something is cheap, and especially in good location, there's a problem. And you're buying the seller's problems. And the question is, do you want to take on those problems? And if the answer is yes, that's a good indicator that could be a good deal for you. Okay? So it might not be a good deal for anyone else or other people, but if it works for you, that's great. So that's the question that I like to ask myself. Like, do I want to take on this problem? Okay, I can handle that. I know people who can fix this, right? I can maybe do it myself. So this is the mindset that I have to create a good deal. Okay, so this is Akiya number 2 that I purchased. As the title indicates, I bought a half-finished house. And this was an off-market listing. And as part of our service to our clients, I shared this listing to the active clients that I had at the time. And no one was like, oh man, this is a good deal. Everyone just ran away. It's like, half-finished? Are you serious? Like, no, I'm not touching that. Like, numbers look okay, but like, no, this is going to be a crazy project. And so I was like, oh, how come, like, location is good. So this is in Higashiserigaya in Minamiku of Yokohama. So the closest station is Kamioka. I'll show it to you.
It was half-finished refurb.
Yeah, so renovation, the seller bought it and started doing the renovation and quit. Yeah, just like literally halfway. Oh, here we go. I'll share the photos. So the kitchen was taken out and like
halfway, and clearly, like, there are tools, right? Paint and all that stuff. And it did not look good when I visited. And I was like, why did they not finish? So I started to talk to the agent, like, hey, is there, like, a really good reason why they didn't finish? And the agent was like, he was a DIY renovator. And he had a full-time job, not doing real estate. But he thought he was going to be able to do it. And he just didn't have the time, or he thought this was too big of a project for him to finish. And that's why he quit. It's like, huh, that's interesting. And nobody wants this. But I don't know if I want this either. So I just kind of stay silent. And I also play by this rule. So negotiation is won by whoever cares less, right? So if you want something really, really bad, you probably, and if you want it more than the other person, you will probably lose in a negotiation. So wanting less is the key, so that you can always walk away and then get them to come back to you, right? So it's hard, especially if you really want to get into this market or get the first deal, right? This equals finding a highly motivated seller. This is super, super important. Okay, so if the seller is not very motivated, or they're like, I just want to get, you know, as high of a price as possible. I mean, every seller starts that way, right? When they list up a listing, every seller. But as the time goes by, I'm not getting offers. Or no one's viewing my properties. They start to panic. So the longer they wait, the more motivated they're going to get. Okay, so that's a good indicator as well. So like, how long has it been on the market? Has anybody seen it? They've seen it, but no one's, you know, pursuing it. Okay, what's going on? So those are, as a buyer, a good indicator to kind of pay attention to. All right, so this is in Japanese, so let me translate for you. So this is the information I got from the listing agent. And off-market listing, so it says Yokohama Shi Konanku, 4DK. So this was 7 million initially, okay? And that's when, like, no one was buying. And expected rent is 100,000 yen. And then tochi, so 69 square meters. Structure, 73 square meters. Wooden, two stories. So Showa 39 unit. That's old. That's super old. I can't even calculate all that. And non-rebuildable sewage, propane. Okay. So a lot of people get thrown off by this. But like Anton was saying yesterday, I actually like non-rebuildable houses. Why? Because you're dealing with less competition, okay? You have to buy cash. You can't get loans. I mean, it's pretty cheap. So most IKEA investors at this price range usually is the cash buyers. So, you know, this didn't scare me, but it was 7 million yen. And I was like, okay, still pretty good. Even if I put like 300 man, like 3 million, and if I get 10 man, 100,000 yen per month. That's, you know, the 1% rule, 12% gross yield. That's pretty good. But if I can get 6 million, so they came back to me like, hey, I want you to buy this. Can you buy at 6? So I was like, okay, fine. Fine, if you insist, I'll buy it. So I bought it, right? Yeah, so they came to me. They were begging me to buy. So that's a good, to me, like, good indicator, like, negotiate. Might have been able to negotiate even harder, but like 6 million, like I had a ton of wiggle room to even achieve that 1% rule. So I bought it. Yeah, it's actually the best performing property in my portfolio as of now. Happy tenant. And then I think we have 10,000 yen, so like 101,000 yen per month for rent. And I did put in about 3 million for reno. And I did replace the toilet seats, and I put ACs. I was lucky because I was moving to a new place, and you know, I was getting rid of old ACs, so I just installed those. You know, you don't have to as a landlord in Japan. You don't have to put up those things, but if you do, especially for like IKEA investing, it's much easier to find a tenant.
How do we know how your tenant is commuting right now? Going to Kamioka.
Oh, perfect.
I'm seeing that it's car, yeah. 9 minutes, not walk.
Nine yeah, minutes. Great question. So this is the deal that I was talking about if you were here yesterday, mm-hmm. right? So this is the farthest mm-hmm. to the station, 22 minutes walking, maybe more, to Kamioka Station. But it's right next to a major street, and the buses come very often. And if you get on it, just a nine-minute bus ride to Kamioka Station, which is one of the major stations on the Blue Line, just one station away from Yokohama Station on the rapid train. So it actually surprised me how I think we got rented within a month of finishing the renovation, which is not the expectations that I set myself or I set for our clients. Usually like 2 to 3 months conservatively, but this one was pretty quick. So I was actually taken aback, but the tenants so happy paying every month with no issues so far. So I'm pretty happy with that. Japanese tenant, yeah, Japanese tenant. Through a guarantor company, so the guarantor company is paying me every month pretty consistently.
How did you find a tenant?
How? I had a property manager find it, yeah. So, you know, unlike a lot of the speakers, I just find people who can do the job better than me. And I talk about that right after talking about this deal. So this is my IKEA number 5. This is probably the one that I'm most excited about right now because I'm doing full gut job. My first time doing it. And this is also the first property that I bought on market. So this was available on the market. And I should have taken a screenshot when the listing was still available on Nifty. And I found this for one of our clients, actually. So this one is in Nakaku, Yokohama. I live in Nakaku, so this was pretty close. So I know that area pretty well. A client was trying to find property in Nakaku, and this showed up. So this was listed at 18 million yen for 2 stories, 100 square meters. Very, very old. I forgot how old. 19, probably 70 something. Yeah, I should know, right? Yeah, it's before pre-1981. And then it needed a ton of work, right? So in this area, Nakaku is probably the most desirable ward in Yokohama. So 18 million is very cheap, considered still cheap in Nakaku. And, you know, I told the client, like, hey, this is probably like a really good deal. Like, you should probably pursue this. And she was like, how much does it cost to renovate? And we got a really quick renovation quote. And it's like, yeah, if you want to do what you want to do, it's going to cost you easily 10 mil. Okay. So like Anton was saying, right, like a gut job, minimum 10 million. And she was like, okay, there's no way I'm spending that much money for this. So like, okay, cool. And we met with the sellers during the walkthrough. Yeah, we said like, okay, we'll think about it. And then the agent called me back a week later. Like, hey, are you still interested in this? Just between you and me, the seller is willing to go down to 12 million. It's like, what? 6 million down? Like, that's crazy. It's like, why? What happened? It's like, no, they just really want to move forward quickly. It's like, okay, cool. So that might work out. And I called my client again. It's like, hey, it's 12 million now. You should get it. Like, it's a good deal. And she's like, still, like, I just can't spend 10 million. And, you know, all in 22 million. So I was like, are you sure? Like, you won't be able to find anything like this in Nakaku. Like, no, it's okay. Like, you know, we'll keep looking. It's like, okay. And I called the agent back and told him, like, sorry, like, we're not going to pursue. And a couple months went by. And I was training for a marathon at the time. So I was running around here. And I was like, wait, what about, like, I wonder what happened to this house, right? And it looked like they were still for sale. So I was like, I got home and looked it up. And sure enough, it was still on the market at 12 million already, yeah, at that point. So, like, they did drop down. It's like, wait, it's still available, like, 2 months later. So I called up the agent, like, hey, is this still available? And he's like, yeah, like, are you interested? It's like, yeah, I'm very interested. But I only have 10. Like, do you think you can do it? And it's like, okay, I'm gonna call the seller. And then he called me back 30 minutes later. It's like, yeah, cash, done. Yeah, so I got an 18 million yen house for 10 million yen. I did call my clients, like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Like, you're cool with it? And she was like, oh, yeah, I wasn't going to get it anyway. So I ended up buying it. And, you know, I got the renovation company visit a couple of times and shared the vision. And I told them, okay, my budget is 12. Can you make it, you know, do like full renovation in 12? It's like, okay, great. And we had multiple meetings. And the quote they came back was $18 million. Yeah, for the renovations. Like, oh my gosh, okay, can you make it? Like, okay, let's meet halfway. Like, what about 14? And they were able to do, you know, 14. But after the renovation started, you know, kept, you know, adding up. But now it's probably going to be like 15, 16. So $26 million all in, it's going to be, plus like closing costs. So yeah, a little bit over 26. So yeah, I'm going to rent it out. So this is for a rental property. But my strategy, I'm very excited because this is something I'm trying, a new strategy. But I will share, you'll be the first one to know, first ones to know. Not for like a, just a regular local tenant, because I want to charge a premium. I'm making it really nice on the inside, adding the second bathroom on the second floor. It's very Western, right? Yeah, Western friendly. Ceiling is taller, three bedrooms, open living, kitchen, dining area. If you really knew me, you would know that my wife is a teacher. She's an international school teacher. And there are a few in Yokohama, that area. Those teachers, they need housing, right? And they look for like a Western style housing. And they're willing to pay usually more than the market for a good house. So I'm planning to target those families and did the renovation thinking of them. It's like, okay, this they would like that. And hopefully I can get a family to stay there once it's done.
Is it the schools that pay or is it the teachers themselves that-
For the school that my wife teaches, yeah, the school, yeah.
School fees are going up.
We need good teachers, right? Yeah, yeah.
Is that like an access point, or is there a road in front of it there?
This is the second floor. So there is one entrance here, and then one down here. So it is not for like all families. Like I thought about living here, moving here, right? But I have little kids, and they would not be thrilled. My wife wouldn't be thrilled to have our kids just go up and down like every day. So it just didn't work out for us. But hopefully, you know, another family with a little bit older kids, right? So I will keep you posted on my channel how that's going to be. So it's still in progress. But my point is, I feel like I got a pretty good deal because I didn't want this to begin with. They kept coming back to us, right? So that's the position you want to be in, but I know it's very difficult. It's easy for me to say now because I end up getting leftovers, like, you know, properties that our clients didn't want initially. And sometimes I can, you know, make deals out of it. But if you really want it, you know, it is not easy to do unless you're okay to wait and then let them come to you.
What do you think of, so yeah. We know that it's old, mm-hmm. and that it's $15 million in renovation costs.
Yeah.
But what is it that you know that other investors at your level of education in the market past, you're going to discover because it's in renovation now.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So you made a deal that other people weren't making. Do you think you missed something or do you think you found something?
You know, I thought I was going to be able to do it with 10, but, you know, this is a renovation company. I have a existing relationship. So like I really challenged them like, hey, like can we do something? And then the best they could do was this 15, 16, right? So I don't know, like, you know, it could have easily been more. And obviously you could spend easily like a few millions over your budget for renovations.
Where was that incremental increase? Where did you see that most?
Oh, it was roof. So like initially, like I said no to like, you know, replacing the roof. Like let's deal with it when we need to, because it was okay. But they were like, hey, because we're doing external walls, we're putting up, you know, scaffolding. So you might as well just do it. I was like, okay, you sold me on that. So that's easily like, you know, one plus million, right?
Renovation, and is it like on time or?
It's on time, yeah. So I gave him a very good timeline because as long as it gets done by the end of May, yeah. I'm happy. And we started the conversation in December. And February, we started at the actual renovation. I closed in January. So they have 4 months to finish, and it's close to me, so I get to go kind of check up on them, and it's It's on track, and I'll keep you posted on how it goes.
I just wanted to say, did you get captured by the new regulations then, or you started the renos before?
Yeah, we started reno before.
The renovation costs like so much, like 15, like 20 million. Do you finance it like out of your pocket?
Luckily, I had cash, so I paid everything cash. Yeah. For the house and for the renovation.
Can you share like how you're paying your contract down? Some kind of a
step? Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Some progress, milestones, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So I think it's pretty typical. But with this renovation company, they asked, they actually asked half. Half upfront. So I paid like seven something, right?
Did you work with them before?
Yeah, I have worked with them before. Yeah. So I did have an existing relationship and I really wanted to like get them going. So I'm like, hey, Give me the contract because I want you to start. We cannot miss a timeline because it's very time specific. So I was fine to pay that up front so that you know they would take me seriously. Yeah. So echoing Brett's point, I don't recommend what I did for your first deal, right? And we don't recommend that. And there's a video that I'm publishing tonight. Maybe you can watch it. But that one's even like, you're going to probably question my decisions. Like, why did you buy this one? But find out. Yeah. But like, I'm in that season where I'm willing to take risks. And that kind of excites me too. So I like to do deals that most people don't want to do. And that, to me, that I think that's my advantage. Because I do know people who can fix those things. I'm not skilled like Anton. Like, I don't do DIY. But I have access to people who... you know, who are very highly skilled. And that's the point that I kind of wanted to make. Yeah. So it's not just about what you know. It's who you know, right? I mean, that's how I like to operate. What you know is definitely very important. So if you don't have the education, if you don't have the knowledge or basic knowledge to get into the game, highly, highly recommend it. It's all about like who you know. And that's why you're all here, right? To connect with the experts in the room so that you can get your journey started.
Jude, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Brett, thanks for the talk. That was very inspiring.
Thank you.
I didn't know what you were going to talk about. I knew you were telling me.
I didn't show it to you.
Yeah.
I didn't show it to you. I wanted you to be surprised, too, especially some of those photos. I hope you guys can go and watch the talk on the channels because they'll post it in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But there's some good Easter eggs in there.
Yeah. But, you know, we were here the whole weekend. Yeah. What were some of your takeaways?
I love the community. I really do. Like, you only meet good people, and it just reiterates everything in my thesis and my whole idea around building community first, because there wasn't a single person that I'm not going to follow up with and talk about with something that we related with. And then also just the wealth of knowledge that's already here in the community, the other experts. I can't wait to get them on the platform so that you guys can access all of their services as well. And we're going to be doing lots of deals to make sure that can happen.
Yeah, no, totally. It was so nice to meet like all the experts, but also like, you know, like-minded people who want to get started. It was good. I'm glad that we came.
I'm really happy that we came. Like, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I didn't know exactly what to expect. I watched the last couple of them and it blew away my expectations. So very worth it.
Totally.
I'm putting together, I interviewed a bunch of people, experts, and I put together those interviews. So be sure to follow up on that. But I hope you enjoy this episode. You can find out more about us and about the community on akiahub.com. So be sure to check out and become a community member.
Yeah.
And we'll see you there. Thanks for watching.
Join in.